We now pick up in our Revelation Bible study in section 28 of the outline, page 31, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, the beast from the sea. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1 reads, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name." So we have a beast rising up out of the sea. And this emphasizes the Gentile origin of the Antichrist. His Gentile origin will be from among the peoples that dwell around the great sea. Specifically, the Grecian people and the Roman people. So the Antichrist, this beast, will be Greco-Roman. We find evidence of this in Daniel chapter 8, verses 8 through 11. "Therefore the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, 4 notable ones came up toward the 4 winds of heaven. And out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of a sanctuary was cast down." So within the context there, in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 8, we're dealing with the third great earthly empire, the first being Babylon, the second being Persia, and the third being the Greek Empire. With regard to the beast's Roman origin, we can take a look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 26, "And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate." And of course, the key there is the people of the prince who is to come and the destruction of the city and the sanctuary. This beast referred to in Revelation chapter 13 is connected with the destruction of Jerusalem by Rome. And so this implies that he will have, at least in part, a Roman origin. Now, by way of information, the scriptures indicate that the beast will also have a Jewish origin. We go to Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 and 37. "And then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. And here it is. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, but he shall exalt himself above them all." And that phrase, "the God of his fathers," is a phrase that is used of the true God of Israel. In this phrase, "God of his fathers," is set against the phrase, "nor regard any god," which deals with false gods. And so that phrase, "God of his fathers," indicates that the Antichrist will have at least some Jewish blood. So the Antichrist, the beast, will be a Greco-Roman Jew. This is what we conclude here by taking a look at these three passages in the book of Daniel. Now, Revelation chapter 13, when we read, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name, is an elaboration of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3, which reads, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven diadems on his heads. And again, to get the origin of this, the Old Testament background, we go back to the book of Daniel once more, and we look at Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. And thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom. So we're dealing with Antichrist kingdom, which shall ultimately arise from the Roman Empire, the fourth great kingdom. We're dealing with the fourth beast here. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. And then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. So here we see how Scripture really works together. And in Revelation chapter 13, chronologically, we're at the midpoint of the tribulation still. We're going to be getting to the bowl judgments pretty shortly. But for now, we're in the interlude within the book of Revelation between the first half of the tribulation and the second half of the tribulation. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 2 reads, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. In view here is the final stage of the revived fourth beast, namely the Roman Empire. We just alluded to that from Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. The legacy of all of the three other great world empires had lived on through Rome, and that fulfills Daniel chapter 7 in verse 12. Daniel 7, 12, which reads, as for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So here, this beast is gaining his authority from the dragon. And we talked about the great fiery red dragon in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3. So what we're dealing with is we're dealing with Satan and the Antichrist here in the context. Satan being the dragon and the Antichrist here being the beast. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 3 reads, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So this is most likely a reference to the counterfeit resurrection. As the dragon is the counterfeit father, so the beast is the counterfeit son. Everything that God does, Satan seeks to counterfeit. And Satan, in fact, has his false prophet who works mighty works. And this completes the satanic imitation of the Trinity of God, the triune God. Revelation chapter 13, verses 4 and 5 reads, so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. So here we have they're worshiping Satan, and they worship the beast. So they're also worshiping the Antichrist, who is the counterfeit son who has been resurrected, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Now we have some idolatrous devil worship going on. Its object raging against the living God by uttering blasphemies. Why? Because Satan knows that his time is short. In fact, he's only going to be able to continue for 42 months, another 3.5 years until the 7 years are finished. Remember we said we're at the midpoint of the 7-year tribulation chronologically at this time. So this fixes the timing here as still the tribulation midpoint. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 6 reads, "And then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven." And this is a fulfillment of what we read earlier, Daniel chapter 9 in verse 27. "In the middle of the week he shall bring an end of sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate." And Jesus himself makes reference to this in the Olivet Discourse. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 15, he says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." So, folks who are truly seeking out the living God and have rejected Satan and his Antichrist and the counterfeit system of worship are going to have a full understanding of the fact that what is going on here at the midpoint of the tribulation is the fulfillment of what Daniel the prophet said. There is going to be an abomination set up in the holy place. Satan is going to be thoroughly defiling the temple of God at this particular time, at the midpoint of the tribulation. The gloves are off. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 7 reads, "It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation." This concept of making war with the saints is that which is done both spiritually and physically. Well, Satan can only overcome them, that is the saints, physically, because God ultimately has his people in his hands, and Satan has no power over the souls and spirits of the redeemed saints of the living God. And I submit to you Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, as a transdispensational truth that's going to carry over from the New Testament age, the church age, where there are persecutions, into the tribulation period as well. And Jesus says this, "And you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." You know, Satan may kill the body. He can do all kinds of damage to the children of God through his agents, but he certainly can't take away the salvation of anybody whom Jesus Christ has purchased with his own blood. And we have this eternal salvation, this promise brought out right there in the Gospel of John. John chapter 10, verses 28 and following, where Jesus himself says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So we in this church age don't have to be afraid that we're going to lose our salvation, or God is somehow going to renege on his promise to save us and ultimately bring us into that place in heaven which he has promised to make for all of those who believe upon him. Satan can make war with the saints, but he can only overcome them physically on this earth. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, "All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." The book of the life of the Lamb is the roll of all of the saved who have a place in heaven. And ultimately, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to fall prey. Those who are living at that time who are not saved will be deceived by the beast, the Antichrist.